Life Audio.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Today I'm going to be meditating on the concept of the power of our words. Your words have tremendous power to influence the course of your life. Jesus teaches it this way. In Matthew 15, the Pharisees are arguing with Jesus because he and his disciples eat food that is considered unclean by Jewish law. Jesus explains to them, "What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what make a man unclean." Matthew 15:11-19. Jesus has connected three things here: thoughts, words, and actions. They go in that order. Your thoughts are seeds, and they get planted in the soil of your heart. They don't necessarily change the environment right away, but when that seed has been planted, it will germinate, and it will spring up and become a tree, which will eventually bear fruit. So you'd better be careful what you're planting. When I was in my early 20s, I realized my life was on a merry-go-round. I was living essentially the same story over and over again. The names and details might change, but the characters and circumstances were basically consistent. I wrestled with this for years. I had an intuitive sense that it was a spiritual principle somehow, because everyone's story seemed to repeat itself, not just mine. But I could not for the life of me figure out why. I was 25 when I finally understood and wondered why it had taken me so long, because it seemed so blatantly obvious in retrospect. In all of those iterations of the same story, there was only one common denominator, me. I realized that my beliefs were essentially, my life will always be this way, I will never get out of this cycle, I will always repeat this pattern. I bitterly said something to this effect every time I told my tale of woe to a sympathetic friend. I wrote about it every day in my journal. I prayed about it every day to God, but despite the biblical promises that God had something better for me, I never actually believed what God said my future held. Instead, I told him that my future would be exactly the same as my past. I gained a twisted sense of satisfaction by complaining, little knowing that my words were actually prophetic. I was planting seeds, and those seeds were bearing fruit. Unfortunately, the fruit they bore was exactly the same fruit I was already harvesting in my life. Instead of recognizing this and changing what I planted, I'd cut open that fruit, pull out the seeds, and plant them right back in the soil of my heart for years. Jesus compares the word of God to a seed in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13:1-23. When it falls on good soil and isn't choked out by the cares of this life and deceitfulness of wealth, Jesus said that seed will germinate, sprout, and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. But this process is indifferent. Your heart will grow whatever you plant in it, whether that seed is good or bad. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew 12:33-34, and also Luke 6:43-45. The first five books of the Bible contain extremely detailed laws that the Jews had to abide by in order to be right with God. The Pharisees had even added hundreds of additional laws of their own by the time Jesus showed up, but their laws were all about external actions. Jesus' laws went much deeper. His dealt not just with wrong actions, but with wrong thinking that eventually produced wrong actions in Matthew 5. Jesus said it's not enough to not commit murder, don't even think about murder. It's not enough to not commit adultery, don't even look at a woman lustfully. What's he saying? Guard your heart. He knows that the heart will grow whatever you plant in it. The thought will eventually produce the words, and the words will eventually produce the actions. Because the heart grows whatever you plant in it, before anything else, you have to start with Solomon's famous advice: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, Proverbs 4:23. So be vigilant about what you plant in your heart. Solomon talks about this a lot. He says in Proverbs 7:1-3, "Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart." And he says in Proverbs 16:23, "A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction." Proverbs 18:15 says, "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out." Proverbs 22:17-18 say, "Apply to your heart what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips." Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." If your thinking is right, then your speaking will be right automatically. But what if both your thinking and your speaking are already wrong? In the midst of my merry-go-round, I don't know if I could have changed what I said about my future. The habit was too entrenched by then, but I at least could have kept my mouth shut. In Luke 1, the angel Gabriel visits Zechariah and tells him that his elderly and barren wife Elizabeth would bear him a son who would become John the Baptist. But Zechariah did not respond to this statement in faith as Mary did when she received a similar prophecy that she would become pregnant with Jesus even though she was a virgin. Instead, Zechariah said, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years," in Luke 1:18. The angel's reply is disapproving. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you of this good news." But then he adds something interesting. "And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time," Luke 1:20. This wasn't just a punishment. The angel said this for a very good reason. Zechariah didn't believe God's word and the angel knew that he would continue to speak his doubts for 9 months. Could that have stopped John's birth had Zechariah's mouth gone unchecked? Another story from the Old Testament suggests that it might have. The Israelite spies told the rest of the Israelites after exploring Canaan, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them," Numbers 13, 31-33. Objectively, this report was true. The spies reported what they saw. There were giants in the land, and their cities were fortified and very powerful. The Israelites, on the other hand, were a nomadic band of former slaves who had never fought a battle in their lives, and apparently they were a lot smaller than the Canaanites. But God called this an evil report in Numbers 13:32 because it disagreed with what he said. He told the Israelites that he was giving them the land, Deuteronomy 1:29-31, so the size and might of the inhabitants was irrelevant. What happened? The Israelites had been complaining ever since Moses had led them out of Egypt and out of slavery that they would die in the wilderness. After their disobedience and unbelief, God says, "I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert your bodies will fall." Numbers 14:28-29. Not one of those Israelites who spread that evil report got to experience God's promised land. So an evil report is anything that disagrees with what God says, even when it accurately describes the current situation. When you're tempted to say what you see instead of what God says, Solomon advises you to hold your tongue. Speak only what agrees with God's word, and if you can't do that, then at least keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 17:27 says, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint." Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Proverbs 10:10 says, "A chattering fool comes to ruin." Proverbs 18:7 says, "A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Proverbs 21:verse 23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." So if the best you can do is hold your tongue, you do well. But if instead you use your tongue to say what God says about the situation, you do much better. We can plant the word of God in our hearts as a seed instead of a faithless evil report. It won't change the way we think overnight, but eventually that seed will become a tree and the tree will bear fruit and that fruit will influence the directions of our lives. We can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans 12:2. Proverbs 12 verse 6 says, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them." Proverbs 12:14 says, "From the fruit of his lips a man is filled with good things as surely as the work of his hands rewards him." Proverbs 13:2 says, "From the fruit of his lips a man enjoys good things." Proverbs 18:verse 20, "From the fruit of his mouth a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips he is satisfied." Matthew 12:37, "For by your words you will be acquitted and by your words you will be condemned." Proverbs 18:21, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Back to the story of the Israelite spies. All of the Israelites spread an evil report except two, Joshua and Caleb. After the rest of the spies' resoundingly negative report, Caleb countered them and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it," Numbers 13, verse 30. In response, God said, "Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun," Numbers 14:30. Joshua went on to become Moses' successor, and Caleb was the only other member of the Israelite community over the age of 20 at the time of the exploration who got to go into the Promised Land. They got what they said. Solomon said the tongue has the power of death and life. Another famous place in the Bible that uses the same phrase is Deuteronomy 30. Here God says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him." Deuteronomy 30:19-20. Our tongues have the power of blessing us by speaking God's word, leading to life, or of cursing us by speaking what is contrary to God's word, leading to death. God says the choice is up to us, but he recommends that we choose life. So I hope that was helpful to you. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day audio Bible podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.